broadcasting from somebody's basement on Cape Cod.
Hey, I paid for this. It's mine.
The best thing to happen on the internet since...
That's not a real donkey show. I told them that.
It's Angry Man Cave.
Oh, I'm in charge again?
Now, down into the cave with Pete and Eck.
Before I get into the episode today, I want to remind everybody to check out our website, www.angrymancave.com. There you can check out our latest blogs, our YouTube videos. Oh, you can go to YouTube as well.
It's lots of fun.
It's pretty good. YouTube site, go ahead and subscribe there. But here's something. If you're shopping at Amazon, go through our page. They give us a little love. So it's www.angrymancave.com. Enjoy the show.
Woohoo!
Yeah. Angry Man Cave episode 70? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Which 70?
It's 70.
Christ almighty. I'm Pete McGuire.
I'm Scott Eck.
And I'm the new guy.
Sitting in with us is an old friend from high school, Ben Spadaro.
Hey.
So we're happy to have Ben here. This is going to be a good episode. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year,
guys.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Hell yeah. 2016, that was wicked fast. 2015 was like really fast.
Yeah, it seemed that way to me for sure. I mean, after we got out of that horrendous February where we got buried under 8 feet of snow, that lasted forever.
That was wicked slow. Yeah.
February seemed like it was 8 months long. And then after that, it was like, boom, right, like lightning.
It's just, I think for me, it was all the traveling I've been doing. I'm not used to it, so it just makes it, every week just goes away faster if you're traveling.
Business traveling. We did have that trip to Pennsylvania over the summer. That was fun.
Yeah, then I had another Pennsylvania wedding. I spent almost an entire month collectively in Pennsylvania this year between work and trips and everything else.
It could be worse places. You could spend a month in Detroit.
This is true. I'm very glad Detroit is not in my territory. So, as far as New Year's Day goes, I believe on a script, we're talking about resolutions. Does anybody have any?
I think I'll keep going with the one that I had last year, which was to concentrate on trying to appreciate the present and live in the moment more than I have in the past. And, you know, just enjoy what life has laid out in front of you at that moment.
Right.
Yeah, and that worked well for me last year, for 2015. So I think I'll continue to roll with that.
Oh. I've never been a big one for resolutions, but the one my wife pressed me was that I came up with was to be more positive about everything in my life. I don't do a whole lot of resolutions, but more positive.
That works.
It does work. That's good. It's positivity in the face of adversity. It's a difficult task to manage, you know? It is.
And how about you, Pete?
What am I going to do this year? Well, I'm going to go to the old standbys, which is quit smoking and lose weight.
Yeah, those are good
things. Those are the standbys. I don't know. Pay down credit card bills. That's about it. I mean, get the financial house in order. I think that's paramount this year. I don't know. Get paid to do this. That's what I'd like to do.
That would be incredible if Angry Man Cave became our profession at some point.
Well, we've got
we can resolve to work on it.
Well, we got a brand here. It's finding the time. And Ben, I think you can chime in on this. Once you have a little one, and once you have bills to pay, finding time to do anything.
Yeah, personal time becomes it's not yours anymore. Your personal time is not yours. It belongs to someone else.
Yeah, I'm lucky I have a family that tolerates me doing this as it is.
I find, though, that you have to, it's, and just like everything else in life, it's as much work. It's work to find time to do what it is that you love. You know, for, you know, the broadcasting, the Man Cave, which I thoroughly enjoy listening to and often actually put in my headphones when I'm on my motorcycle. It's my motorcycle, spending time to find time to get out on two wheels and go places.
Nice ride, by the way.
Thank you.
All right. Well, now you can listen to yourself.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Isn't that a bit narcissistic? I mean,
oh, wicked. Wicked. I don't think Scott's ever listened to an entire show.
No, I haven't.
Really?
Well, because he does radio for work, so I mean, that's...
I've made almost all of the shows. I've only missed one. So I've been here for the very first listen.
Right.
When it happened.
Right, right. No, but yeah, that's right, you did. You missed the one...
when I was in Mexico.
When you were in Mexico. Me and Chuck decided to rip one out. And it that was fun. That was fun, yeah. So on here, Scott, on the script, you mentioned about the resolutions here. Why do we debate them? Now, what do you mean by debating them?
Well, I mean, there's somebody that usually comes up, and you, a lot of times you hear it as a news story, either on the radio or on television. Somebody will bring up the subject of, is it necessary to make New Year's resolutions, and are we setting ourselves up for failure by doing so? So, like,
oh, God forbid someone has good fucking intentions and wants to do something with it.
Right, right.
Oh, come on. People are such assholes. There were so many naysayers out there. Fuck them. God damn.
No, exactly. And I mean, a resolution is just another way of saying I'm setting a goal for myself
right.
for this year. And yeah. goal setting is something that's important or should be important for everybody.
That's a positive thing. Where did you read that? Who wrote
that? I think one of the radio stations was doing a story about it last week.
You know, that's like that one asshole that was like protesting the National Spelling Bee. I'm like, what could possibly be wrong with that? Right?
Like, right.
Come on. Faith in humanity just dropping quickly.
Well, yeah.
You know, if it's so bad here, go over to ISIS.
That's nice.
That's how I feel.
I resolved to throw people off a roof this year.
New Year's traditions. Well, ours here in the McGuire household is you got to have sauerkraut and pork for good luck.
Okay.
And if listeners, if you can hear that dog barking, there may be fried dog involved later, too.
Nice. Yeah. Deep fried.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
number seven with Snoopy. Yeah.
I used to call her a yip and shit. I think I'm going to call her a punt now. Kind of how I feel about that. Scott, what's your tradition in the Eck household?
Well, my big one, which had come from my family growing up, was that we did Chinese food on New Year's Eve. That was a big thing. We always got Chinese food. And I kept with that tradition right up until last New Year's.
Okay.
When I got, I had just moved to Beverly, so I was getting my first Chinese takeout in Beverly, and the place I got it from was horrendous.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
Oh, God, did I pay the price the next day for that, what I ate New Year's Eve out of this joint.
Fistful of MSG.
Oh, God. I think, what was the name? The place was called China River. Yeah, I made a river, all right. River coming right out of my ass.
Good Lord.
But, yeah, and that ended it. I was like, you know what? I'll do something else for New Year's. I don't need Chinese food anymore. I'm done.
Just
so that broke the tradition.
As a side note, I've lived all across the country. Tiki Port is the only place that's any good. I'm not going to tell you.
Nothing. I've never nothing. Found anything that's as good as Tiki Port.
No, I don't know why.
That's the gold standard for Chinese.
Don't know how. Those of you that don't live around here,
I would say
Google it up. Tiki Port. It's been around since like what, 1970 or something? And it's just like it's the best Chinese joint ever, period.
Yeah, absolutely. Boom. Hands down.
For their food and their alcohol.
Yeah, I like their alcohol.
But they're more of a, well, they're Polynesian. Right. So it's not
Polynesian, Cantonese, it's a combination.
Yeah. But, man, I'm telling you, I mean, everything else I've ordered in a lot of different places is like a lot of shit.
No, nothing beats Tiki Port. And actually, once you've had it, then nothing, you won't like anything else ever again.
Ben, what's the tradition over your household?
Trying to find some new food, and we prepare it as a family. So we come up with something that we haven't had or made or decide to try and change something.
That's cool.
And last night we made buffalo chicken pies, individual buffalo chicken pies in a muffin tin.
Interesting.
Yes. It came out very well. Very well. We lost a little bit to the, because we actually used paper muffin cups. So we lost a little bit to the paper, but it was really good.
Right on.
8-year-old didn't like it a lot, but, you know, 8-year-old, pretty much grilled cheese and hot dogs is what he's living on right now.
Yeah.
I think you're familiar with that, Pete.
Well, Jen's finally breaking out of that at 12. But, I mean, yeah, it was mac and cheese forever.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Chicken nuggets.
And chicken nuggets.
And chicken nuggets.
Who invented the nugget?
They're very wealthy right now, whoever they are.
The first time I ever heard of a nugget, it was a McDonald's thing.
Yeah,
that was like, what, the late 70s, early 80s? It was like right after the McChicken sandwich, the McNuggets appeared.
Because we never had
cut
nuggets.
Up this McChicken thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. We never had nuggets, did we? Now I think about it.
Not until McDonald's came out with them.
No, but I mean as kids. Like we were out of that.
No.
And we were older. We were too old to appreciate the full nugget effect, I think.
The hot dog was certainly available when we were kids.
Yes. And then Kraft macaroni.